And so some of you know, Susan and I just returned from a cruise, a short cruise to Mexico for a reunion party that we were on. And it's always interesting going on cruises. I've been on a few. We lived on a ship for a year. Not quite the same as the cruise ship, you know. So we kind of know what it's like to live on the ship. But I got to tell you, when they opened our cabin door, I'm like, whoa, this one's really small. You know, it's like 110 square feet or something. You know, it's like pretty small. So you don't want to spend a lot of time in the cabin. But so we're on this cruise, and it's always interesting on cruises because we were with this group of people that Susan went to school with. But I didn't know anybody. I go, well, I didn't graduate with you people, so I don't know who you are. But so, you know, and they've got buffets everywhere. There's like outrageous amounts of food everywhere you go on these cruise ships. And some very, you know, just a lot to eat. We'll just leave it at that. So, but on this cruise ship, it was kind of unique because for not just for dinner, but for breakfast and lunch, you could go into the dining room and you could sit and, you know, white tablecloths, and they served you and stuff. And you tend to eat less than if you're going through the buffet line six times, you know. So we go into the dining room. There's hardly anybody in the dining room. And I says, oh, there's just two of us. And he says, well, could we seat you with somebody? I'm like, well, there's like 150 empty tables. Well, that's not how we work it. So we have to sit down. I think it was the second morning. So we sit down, and there's this couple there. And he looked a little older than me, and she looked a little older than you. But they were very nice, you know. And it's just kind of interesting because I really think it was like a God thing. Out of all the people on this cruise ship, this is who we're going to sit with. And, oh, how you doing? Oh, good. Oh, where are you from? Oh, where are you? Oh, we're from Texas. Oh, we're from Indiana. And and his name was Mike, and my name was Mike. And it's like, you know, and then it's sort of so like, what do? You know, and it's like, you know, Paul says, never tell him you're a pastor. So this Mike guy goes, I'm a pastor. And I'm like, great. I says, so am I. And then we started talking, and they were from Texas, and they were, you know, I would say they were very Christian, whatever that means, but they were very Christian. And so they've been on the mission field. Where did they go? To Uganda or something? Uganda or someplace in Africa. And they have a church in Texas, and he's been a pastor for like 40 years. And it's kind of interesting because he says, all I want to do is pray and write. You know, he says, I don't even go to the church. I stay at home. I email my secretary everything. And he says, that's all I want to do is pray and write. And I'm like, I can understand that. So and we're talking stories. Oh, well, we were on mercy ships, and they're from Texas, so they know about, you know, YWAM. And I mean, they knew all the Christian talk because they were Christians. So we're talking and we're telling stories of, you know, different adventures on the mission field that we've been through. And so this guy, then his wife says, well, Mike, tell him when you were arrested for murder in India. And I'm like, okay, that tops our stories, you know. And he's a very quiet, introverted guy, you know, very thin. And, you know, he had like a bag of something he was putting on a plastic bag of some things, nuts or something he was putting on his food. He was very into health. And he starts telling, this was 1996. So 1996, Susan actually remembers this. And I tried Googling it. I can't find it. But he took a team. There was 10 men. They went to India. And they were doing some sort of leader training or something in some city in India. But before he left for India, he said, God told me that there was going to be like a riot. But don't worry. You know, there's going to be a riot, but don't worry. So he was kind of at peace. And they're in this kind of like a big amphitheater, sort of like, I'll say, the Rosemont Horizon. I don't know. He's at this place. And I guess a couple of people got healed outside. And I'm not quite sure, you know, what the story. Somebody was blind, and then they could see all of a sudden and something else. So I'm like, okay. And then he says, like, the crowd started rioting outside this building. And apparently the police were there, and one of the police, they carry rifles in most countries, not like we do. And I don't think they had body cameras, you know, I'm pretty sure not. But anyway, so he lowered his rifle and he shot into the crowd and he killed somebody, a young man, I guess, was killed. And then his name is Mike Walsh, Pastor Mike Walsh. He explained it to me that in India, apparently the laws are a little bit different because he was the head person at this event, running this event, that he and his people are technically responsible for this kid's murder, even though they were inside and he was outside and the policeman shot him, but that's how the story goes. And anyway, so they haul him off to jail, him and his nine, you know, Americans from Texas, and, you know, they're in India. And then I guess they were, oh my gosh, I guess the media, because you prayed for him, it got out to the media and the State Department, and people are trying to, you know, expedite getting them back and stuff like that. And anyways, then they were moved. I guess they took him in a truck for like hours and hours to this godforsaken prison in the middle of nowhere. And there's some other stories that he told about what went on when they were there. But his comment was, I was at peace during the whole thing. And needless to say, one man in particular in his group was not at peace. I mean, this guy was like, we're going to spend like 7 or 8 years in this terrible place because, you know. And he's like, he was totally calm with it. And he says, I don't have any problem. And I knew everything was going to be okay. And in sort of how they got out apparently was sort of like a corrupt thing, because I guess the governor of the province or the state where they were in was friends with the warden of this jail or this prison. And he called him up and he says, I want you to release him, even though, you know, you need laws and judges and things to do it. And somehow they let him go from the jail. And he says, but we needed to get out of the country. And he says they got to an airport, and it was BOAC, British Oceanic Airlines, I think it's called. We flew them once, but anyways. So they got to the airport, and I don't think they had any money. They didn't have passports, they didn't have money. And it's just like, he went up to the counter, this Pastor Mike Walsh, and he started to say, well, my name is, you know, Mike Walsh. We were the missionaries. The lady pulled 10 first-class tickets. Get on the plane. Get out of Dodge. But the point of the story that I'm really trying to get across is he experienced his peace that surpasses all understanding. And we've been in a couple of tight situations, you know, on the mission field, and, you know, you can't experience it. I'm like, well, God, could you tell me like yesterday that this was going to happen? No. You got to like wait for it to happen and then believe that God's going to be there for you. And I could tell you stories about that, but we're going to move on. So let's pray. Abba, Father, we come to you this day and we thank you that you promise your peace that surpasses all understanding. And you also promise that you'll meet us in the most difficult times and the most desperate of situations, that's when we might find you. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as you order the words of my mouth, and that it would touch each person's heart and mind here today in a special way that only you know. We pray this all in your name. Amen. So what's your story? What's your story? You know, on Facebook, it's like good stuff. You know, oh, we're at this restaurant. Oh, we're on a cruise. Oh, we're on vacation. You know, you don't see too often, oh, you know, I'm really sick, or, you know. I mean, I look around. I know some of your stories, a little bit of some of yours, not much. But what's your story? And many of you, I look around and it's like, I mean, I've only been a Christian maybe, I don't know, 25 years or so, something like that. I have to do the math. But anyways, so what's your story? It's like when you thought you were going to become a Christian, you were kind of maybe thinking about it, you know, if you were more of an adult or something. It's like, gee, that'll be good. Then I won't have any more problems. I'll be a Christian. Everything will be okay. It'll be all rosy, right? Right, Candy? No. Right, Amber? No. I could go around the room probably to everybody, and it's, no, it's not, that's not how it is. Because I was looking at this, I thought it only said like once, like, you know, you will have trials and tribulations, you know, in the Bible. Well, you Google it up, and it's like 40 plus times. It's all over the place, you know? So if usually they tell you in seminary, like if it's once or twice, that's one level. But if it's like 40 times, that kind of really means it's important. So you're going to have troubles, you're going to have trials, stuff like that. And as you get older, you're going to have more and more, you know? It doesn't, you know, you can't get to like 50, 60, 70 years old without having some stuff. I remember years ago, we were at a Thanksgiving service, long time ago, and this guy's name was Dick Bruce. And he was probably, I don't know, 65 at the time. And he got up and he was like, what are you thankful for? And he was like, you know, I've really had a really good life. I've never really had, you know, he had a good job and wife and kids and, you know, and that's kind of how he was. I'll say he was lucky, you know, I don't know. That's just what he is. And then you talk to other people and it's like, oh my gosh. So I sat with somebody on the ship for another meal and she was quite a character. And I made the mistake of telling her I was a pastor. Well, she's had 9 back surgeries and lung cancer and COPD and I think 4 husbands? 4 husbands. And I mean, she just went on and on and on. I'm like, wow, you've had your share of troubles, you know? It's like, but it didn't seem to faze her too much. I'm not sure why, but I don't think she was a Christian. I don't know. But as you get older, you're going to have more and more. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know some of you post things on Facebook and I kind of look at it most every day and see things and some of you I just know, but okay, don't raise your hands. Unemployment. We got some unemployment stuff, you know. I've been unemployed numerous times. Homeless. We were homeless a little bit, but we had places to stay. But, you know, some people experience homelessness. Hungry. Hunger? How many of us are hungry? Nobody was hungry on our ship, let me tell you that. They were all well fed, but you know, there's people that are hungry right here in DuPage County. There's people that are hungry. And when we worked on Mercy Ship, one of the big things was that if we hired you as an employee from Madagascar to work on the ship, not only did you get your $8 or $10 a day, but you got a meal. And for many of them, that was their only meal that they had for the whole day. So when you came through the line and they had rice like 8 inches high on their plate, that's because they're not going to eat again until the next day when they come back. And many of them showed up on their day off hoping to work, probably not so much for the work, but so they could get a meal. But so there's hunger. Jail. Some of you have been in jail maybe. Children. There's no problem with children, are there? No problem. Grandchildren, yeah, no problem there. You know, it goes on and on. Sickness, we got a lot. I mean, when I see the prayer list from the church, most everybody, it tends to be about sickness. I would say 80 or 90% of our prayer list, we have illnesses. Like this lady on the ship, she had lots and lots of illnesses. I should change this word, Heidi. Bad marriages. I have a different word written there, but bad marriages, somebody experiencing bad marriages or divorce or car problems, you know, not the same thing, but, you know, if you got car problems, you got car problems. Some of you are lonely, maybe. We were just talking about, you know, the young people on Facebook and stuff. I have 8,000 friends, but I'm lonely because, you know, they're just looking at the phone all day long. Or depressed. What about death? Experience the loss of a loved one, you know? Once you get a little bit older, you start experiencing stuff. I remember Susan's mother, she died at 97 and a half, and I used to talk to her a lot about death, and she was like, well, all my friends died already, you know? I'm the only one left. And it's like, yeah, you start getting older, and pretty soon you get there. And the list goes on and on and on. So everybody's depressed now. How many of you have at least 5? You know. Anyways, let's go to the Bible verses there, Russell. This is from 2 Corinthians 11. This is Paul. You know who he is, the Apostle Paul. So he starts off, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about it. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they, you know, descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? And then he says, I am out of my mind to talk like this. He says, I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. You think you had a bad day, you know? Been flogged more severely and exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. So it was only 39. It wasn't, you know, just 39 lashes 5 times. That's 195 lashes, if I'm doing my math correctly. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I got to Starbucks this morning and somebody was complaining they didn't have almond milk for their latte. And I'm like, you think you're having a bad day? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked, and we were on a ship. You don't want to be shipwrecked, even in the Caribbean. You know, it's like, you know, they got those boats and you don't want to see them putting the boats in the water. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I couldn't imagine that. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, endangered in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. That kind of includes everybody, I think. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And you think you had a bad day, you know, you had a rough morning getting here. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. He's very concerned, you know, for Ephesus and Thessalonica. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of things that show my weakness. And I'm like, wow. Usually we boast the things that show how strong we are. I got the new job. I got a raise. I got a new house. I got a new car. You know, I graduated from school. You know, those are my things. But he's saying, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. And I got to tell you, I've been struggling with this message for a few weeks, unlike Pastor Paul, who does this all the time and for many, many years. I don't do it this often, so it takes me a lot longer. And I'm like, so what is this weakness thing? And I think this is what this Pastor Mike Walsh in India was talking about. It's like, I can't do anything. I'm imprisoned in a foreign country, in a godforsaken jail. I gotta depend on God. That's it. Joe was, when we were leading worship, what did you say? Look up? Yeah, we got to look up. We tend to, oh my gosh, things are going bad. It's like, oh my gosh, things are going bad. Help me. But we want to do it all in our own strength. And that's not what he says. So I'm going to tell you another story, actually another missionary that we met on another trip. When we were in Israel a couple of years ago, there was a young couple from Grand Rapids, I think, and she's a Messianic Jew from Chicago, and he's a Dutchman from Grand Rapids, I guess. I don't know where he's from. Real nice couple, and they serve as missionaries in the Dominican Republic with an organization some of you might be familiar with called Young Life. And we support them a little bit and, you know, stuff like that. But she posts on Facebook like every day. I mean, kind of gets on my nerves. I'll be honest with you. And she does some sort of, I'm not sure what she does. She's like a health coach and she's always like posting videos of working out and, you know, and she's got some sort, I guess she makes money doing this. I'm not exactly sure what it is. She's never asked me to join or anything. So, and she's always, and then she goes to conventions and all these young women get together and, you know, they're working out. And apparently, back in the day, she used to weigh a lot more than she does now. And she has 3 kids, what do you think, 40 years old maybe, something. So, And but I'm telling you, every day, this is like 2.5 years now we've been back from Israel. Every day she posts stuff, and it goes on and on. And she posts very positive things, sometimes Bible verses and, you know, motivational, like you can do it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And just because you didn't do it today, you can do it tomorrow. And, you know, very, very uplifting and encouraging and positive and stuff like that. And I'm like, gosh, this gets old after a while, you know. And you know Heidi, poor Heidi, I unfriended her a long time ago. I'm not sure how I did it or why, but I was just like, I don't know. It was pretty funny. Paul's like, there's a different way to do that. You don't have to unfriend her. You just have to do something. Well, I was going to unfriend her, but I didn't want to aggravate her. But anyways, a couple of weeks ago, she posts this very like personal post about, she like, I have a confession. This isn't like Facebook stuff, but it's on Facebook. Facebook's always, yeah, 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 rah. She's like, I have to post, you know, I think she calls herself a health coach or a fitness coach. I'm a fitness coach, and I have all these people on my team, and blah, blah, blah. And I have to say, since January in the Dominican, I've gained 20 pounds. So in like 6 months or so, 5-6 months, she gained 20 pounds. And I was like, wow, but you're like gung-ho health coach, you know, and stuff like that. And she'd get up in the morning, and I was amazed because I started reading, which I usually don't, started reading some of the comments, and she had lots and lots of comments because she has lots and lots of followers. And I think, and this is my opinion, I don't know, in her weakness and her transparency saying, I've gained 20 pounds in the last 5 months or 6 months, even though I'm like your health coach, that had more impact than the 600 or 700 posts she did about, you know, go get up and work out and do this and do that. And it's like, it struck me that in my weakness, that's where I'm strong. In my weakness, I'm just like you. I gain weight, I'm trying, but it doesn't always work. And I think she had, that post had a very positive impact, probably more so than literally the 800 or 900 posts in the last 2.5 years that she had done. In my weakness, that's where I'm strong. But let people see our weaknesses, you know, because they're weaknesses. But a lot of times in the weakness, that's where the strength is. So I've been kind of thinking about that. And I found this quote. Not exactly sure I remember where I found it. It's the very confession of your weaknesses that creates the strength to endure. It's the very confession of your weaknesses, notice they say plural weaknesses, that creates strength to endure. So when we allow people, and it doesn't mean you got to go post it on Facebook, you know, I think there's some discernment here. But when we allow people to see our weaknesses, it can be very powerful. So which problems are you facing today? You know, where are your weaknesses? I could ask you where your strengths were, and you'd probably, like, you know, maybe boast a little bit about what you do good and stuff like that, but you're probably not going to raise your hand and tell me what your weaknesses are and where you're bad at. But Paul tells us where it is. He's faced them all. And another interesting thing I found is, like, this woman on the ship that had all these medical problems and things like that. With medical problems, and we all have medical problems. And if you don't, you will, I guarantee you, you know. If you get a little bit older, you'll have some. I was at the doctor Friday, and he's like, well, you've got this. I'm like, really? And he's like, I'm like, so what do we do for it? He's like, there's nothing you can do, you know. You just got it, and you're going to have it, and that's it, you know. It's not a real big deal at this point, but I'm like, thank you for that. I needed that to start my Friday morning. And diabetic neuropathy. I have diabetic neuropathy in one foot, and my foot's kind of numb and stuff like that. And I'm like, so there's a pill, right? No, there's no pill. No pill for that. You'll just have to live with it. And it's, you know, he talks about the thorn in the side. And I do, some of you know, I mean, I've been to the hospital with some of you and hospital chaplain work and things like that. And it's like, many of us have serious problems. And you know what? They're probably not going to go away. They're not going to get better. Maybe a little bit, and then maybe something else comes. But it's like, how do we live with that? How do we live with the problem? How do we live with the death? How do we live with the sickness? How do we live with the unemployment? Whatever the problem might be, how do we live with it? And what do we do with it? So I would say, this is a quote from me, your problems force you to acknowledge your weaknesses, and in your weaknesses, you find Christ's grace. That's the only thing that's going to get it, is the grace of Jesus Christ. Because it ain't going to get fixed. Not this side of heaven, it's not. You know, a lot of these problems, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to be with you till you get to the other side. And that's all there is to it. But in the weakness, you find Christ's grace. And just like this man in India, whatever, 20 years ago or 22 years ago, whatever it was, he found it there. I'm going to tell a quick story. Susan's heard it about 1,000 times. But is Linda Vitt back there? Yeah, she's back there. So some years ago, it's a long story. We're supposed to go to Kenya with a group, with Paul, and I think Carol was going, and some people. And we were going to go, and then like 32 days out, God told me, he says, you're not going to Kenya. I'm like, really? Susan, we're not going to Kenya. Oh, okay. And it was just kind of weird. It's like, so where are we going to go? I go, I don't know. We're not going to Kenya. We're not supposed to go to Kenya. And I was at a hospital visiting Marcy Metzger, some of you know her, and she had cancer, and she was supposed to go to Kenya, and she did go, I think, on that trip. She left like 10 days later. I walked out of Rush Hospital. I'm getting on the Eisenhower Expressway, and my cell phone rang, and it was a guy that we had gone to Ecuador with from Assembly of God Healthcare Ministries, Mike O'Brien. Mike, he says, I kind of have a special project. Does Susan do this IV nursing stuff? And, well, yes, she does. Well, we need you to go to Sudan. And I'm like, okay, that's probably why we're not going to Kenya, because we're going to Sudan. So anyways, we're preparing for this trip. And Linda Vitt, I remember, you gave us hand gel, I think, and IV, or maybe Penny. Somebody gave us IV fluids, and it's just the two of us going to Sudan. Not a very safe place, especially for Jews, let me tell you. Had to get a new passport to get into Sudan, because they don't want Israeli stamps on your passport. I would end up in that jail, and I don't think God's grace would have gotten me out of there. But anyways, we're getting ready to go, and a couple days before, the missionaries are emailing us, be very careful when you get here. Things have tightened up. When you land, they're going to go through your luggage on the tarmac, and they'll bring it in, and if you have a big yellow chalk X mark on your luggage, that means they want to look at that and talk with you. So, of course, we have these four big duffel bags full of stuff and probably like tracks or do Jesus film. Something's in one of these bags that's got the big X on it. And it's like 140 degrees in the airport, you know. Cool day in Khartoum. And they come over, and then the guy with the machine gun comes over, and it's like, these are yours? Yeah, come over here. And they take us off to the side. And there was this man, and he had a desk that was up on a platform, deliberately set that way to intimidate you, you know. And he's sitting at his desk, and there's a guy behind him with a machine gun, and they put this big duffel bag up on the desk. And I'm like, and passports? And, you know, I give him the passport. Mine's brand new. It's clean. I have a brand new passport. And he's like, okay. And then he stands up, and he's going to open this big, you know, it's a big duffel bag like this. And he starts opening the zipper, and I'm like, oh, boy. I go, in my mind, in the name of Jesus, don't open this bag. And he got like halfway, and he went, go. And I was like, wow. That was God's grace. I don't think they would have put us in jail. I don't know what they would have done, but I'm like, God, could you have done something a little before this? Did we have to wait till he was halfway open? You know? But I remember that story because that was God's grace that got us through that. Just like the man in India, that was God's grace. Just like your unemployment, your disease, your death, your blah, blah, whatever it is, it's God's grace that gets us through it. And then I think, what a testimony when you get to say like this, where's Carol? You're here. This Tia Coleman, the survivor of the, how many? Nine of her family died on this boat in Branson, Missouri a couple days ago. It's God's grace. But what a testimony she has that she can get on the media and her pastor comes from Indianapolis and they're talking about this. What an opportunity. Probably does a whole lot more than everything else we do, you know, trying to win people to Christ. It's like, well, what did God do for you? So anyways, when you think about which ones you're experiencing, it's like, how can I use this for his glory? Rather than, oh my gosh, I've had nine back surgeries, oh, and this doesn't work, you know, sound like an old Jew. That's a joke, you can laugh. It's like that's how the Jews are. I have a bursitis, arthritis, tendonitis, you know, my cardiologist, you know. And Amber, I'm going to pick on you right now because I'm so proud of Amber. And this is slightly off the subject, but there was a post on Facebook. I don't know who posted it. Something about numerology or numbers and stuff. Remember that? And they were talking, well, if you were born in the fifth month and this, and if you were on the 22nd day of the fifth month. And what did you say? Amen. She said, this is the day the Lord wanted me to be here. It's got nothing to do with numbers and the planets and, you know. But all these people, you were the only one that I saw that posted anything like that. They were all posting like, you know, oh, I'm a Virgo with a moon rising or stuff, you know. And I was like, go Amber. But, you know, sometimes I think we get bogged down by this stuff. You know, oh, I have this disease, I have that disease. And, you know, and I know Amber's, you know, struggling with stuff. But that's where God's going to meet you, in the struggle. I don't think he meets us, not that he can't. I don't think he meets us on the mountaintops. You know, when you got the raise and the new house and the whatever it is that you're looking for. Yeah, that's nice. I don't think he's against that. I think he's fine with that. But it's a whole lot more difficult to meet you up there when everything's going great than it is to meet you down here when you're in the bottom. And we were kind of talking about that just now. So it's interesting. And it says that, you know, Paul's like sort of begging, can you take this thorn from my side? It hurts, you know? And it's like, no, 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 my grace is enough. You can handle the thorn because you have my grace. Russell T., can you bring the next one up? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Is there one more? Yes, there is. That is why, for Christ's sake, oh, this is great, I delight in weaknesses. Yeah, beat me some more, throw stones at me, insult me, you know, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, persecute me, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's so counterintuitive to the American culture, you know. That's not what we're about, you know. We're all about strength, and this is what I can do, and this is what I got. No, it's just the opposite. It's like when you're on the ground and you've been beaten and blah, 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 that's when his grace comes in. So I have a challenge for you this week. Number one, and you don't have to, like, raise your hands, and you don't have to share it, but I suggest maybe you write it down. List three places, and you could list 10. I think I had five originally, but I didn't want to depress you all. List three places in your life where you feel incompetent, weak, or overwhelmed? Does everybody have three? Okay, come on. Weak, overwhelmed, incompetent. You know, you just don't know how to handle the situation. Oh, I'm so old. I love when you do that. That's great. She just took a picture of it. I love it. When we were first on Mercy Ships, we had got to Madagascar, we're having this country briefing, and they're like this missionary that was in country from, I think she was a U.S. citizen. She was there, she was married to this British guy, and she had been there for a few years, and she was telling us about what life was like, and if you ever need any help, here's our phone number and stuff. So, of course, I have my index card and my pen, and I'm like starting to write down all this, you know, the information. And all these like 25-year-old nurses, I turn around, they're all taking pictures of the thing. And I'm like, that's how I knew I was old. So I appreciate that. So list the three places. Next, understand. Those are places God wants to meet you this week. He has divine appointments with you. He wants to meet you there. I remember years ago used to see this woman, she's passed away, she was a spiritual director, and we were talking about, oh, this friend of ours' child was getting, what was he getting, vancomycin or something? IV antibiotics, and it's like, can you give thanks for the infection? Give thanks for the infection. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know if I can pray that way with the parents. Thank you, God, that you've infected this child with this terrible infection. Then give thanks for the antibiotic, for the people that made it, the people that are administering it. That's kind of hard. Oh, I have cancer. Can you give thanks for cancer? Maybe God wants to meet you there. So understand that those places are where God wants to meet you this week. And then finally, this is the tough part, depend. Depend on God's love and strength in everything life throws at you this week. I guarantee you, most likely, pretty much everybody here is going to have something. You know, he's going to throw a curveball at you, and he's going to get you somehow. It might not be a real big thing. It might not be cancer or a heart attack. It might be something minor. But he's going to throw something at you. Can we learn to depend on God this week that he's going to see you through it? He might not take it away. And when I say, I want to preface this, when I say depend on God, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything, okay? Oh, I'll just leave it to God. And no offense, I think it's we'll just pick on the Christian Sciences, because I think they don't believe in medicine, I'll say. So, Amber, you went to the doctors, right? Yeah, you were in the emergency room and one or two nights in the hospital for your situation. It doesn't mean, okay, God, I'm just going to leave it all up to you. No, I think he wants you to do stuff. He wants you to go to the doctor. He wants you to fill out the resume and the application, and he wants you to reach out to your neighbor or you know, whatever it is. He wants you to do that, but he also wants you to depend on him. Sometimes it's like, ask God, what do you want me to do? How should I handle this? I don't know what to do. I'm clueless. Those are the real tough situations. We used to know a lady, I assume she's passed away, B. She was a Catholic that became a Presbyterian. She used to say she was a Presbycat. And she had three daughters. And she said, I had calluses on my knees. I had three daughters. She says, I was on my knees all the time praying for my children. But sometimes that's what it is. He forces you to your knees. And that's how you're supposed to handle it. So we're not going to have reports back next week. Don't worry, Candy. We're not going to have you come up and tell what you did. But I think this is what Paul's getting at in terms of, where's God going to meet you? It's a whole lot easier for him to meet you in those depths of sorrow and turmoil and trouble than it is to meet you at those ecstatic places where you could be. So let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you that your word tells us that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. that no matter where we are in the darkest times or in the brightest times, that you will be there with us. Help us to recognize that you were the one that always was there, and most of the time we were the ones that stepped away. So, Lord, I ask you to be with each person this week as in the depths of their heart, they search what their weaknesses are, what their problems are, what their situations are. And Lord, that they would allow you to meet them in these places this week. My experience has been you meet me in the most unexpected ways. No matter what I think you should do, you always come up with a different thing. And that, Lord, we would learn to depend on you more and more. That during these troubled situations, we wouldn't be looking down, but we would be looking up to you, to the grace that you provide. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.